Do you remember your first experience with the church? Well, I do, and I'll tell you about it today. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience radio ministry. This broadcast comes to you each week over this station at this time. Now let us pray. Father, we pray now for the anointing of the sacred Holy Spirit to be upon the sharing of thy marvelous truth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, while I was driving to church last Sunday, all of a sudden, the Lord spake to me, and He said, "You're not done telling your story. I want you to tell the rest of the story up to this very day." Well, many of you recall how in the last 4 weeks I shared my story as I experienced it in Germany. I was born and raised in Nazi Germany. I'm part Jewish. I was classified by the Nazis as a second-degree mongrel. And then I shared with you my deliverances from the Nazis, from the British bombs, from the Red Army, from their torpedo boats and water mines, and from the Russian submarines in the Baltic Sea. I shared with you about my 2 years in a refugee prison camp, 2 years behind barbed wire with 36,000 people, where God first spake to me. I speak to you about my deliverance from starvation. And then the greatest of all things, I shared with you my deliverance from the power and the hold of sin. I found Jesus in 1952 in England. My Jewish grandfather escaped the Holocaust, went to England, and while I was visiting him, I received an invitation to a Christian Bible conference center in northern England, and I found the Lord. Praise God. I came back to Germany, and there I was a member of the Christian Boy Scout movement, and when I shared my story of my conversion, that Jesus had come into my heart with my Boy Scout leader, I was excommunicated from the Christian Boy Scout movement of Germany. That's where my story ended as far as last Sunday is concerned. Now, Jesus says, keep telling the rest of the story, so we're going into new territory today. And I want to bring you now to my first experience with the church. Since we were second-degree mongrels, we were not allowed to go to church during the Nazi period. But then we didn't have any interest to go to church either. None of our family was a Christian. And then after I found the Lord in England, I came back to Germany and I began to want to go to church. But all we had was these big, cold cathedrals, and there was nothing much going on there of any spiritual value, and so I was just doing the best I could without going to church, but praying that someday God will help me to find a church where Jesus would be present. So I did what I could every day, and I would read my Bible, I would pray, and I would witness for the Lord as much as I could, and after about 1 year of that, I had a knock at my door of my apartment, and there was a tall, strong young man, blue-eyed, blonde, and he said, "I just came from Copenhagen, that's from Denmark, and I heard about your conversion, and I want to invite you to my church." Oh, I was thrilled. Now, I have no idea how people in Copenhagen, Denmark, knew about my conversion in England, because here I was in Hamburg, Germany. But God works in a mysterious way. God never forgets anybody. God will never forget where you are, what your troubles are, and He'll never forget about your needs. Consequently, we went to church together. Every Sunday, this young man by the name of Helmut would get on a train, and then he would walk or take the streetcar and come to my apartment, and then we would get on the streetcar, and then we'd take the train, and then we walk a little bit, and we went to the church. The church really was a fellowship of believers who met in a large hotel room. And there were approximately 300 people in those meetings. And on the platform, you had about six men. And in the 2 years I attended that fellowship, that church, I never figured out who the pastor was. I never was interested in trying to figure out who the pastor was. The meetings lasted about 2 to 3 hours. And in those 2 to 3 hours, the Holy Spirit would work in such marvelous and wonderful ways that most of the time, most people had tears rolling down their cheeks because the love of Jesus was so wonderfully present. Then after church, I was invited by one of the families to their home, and they had dinner. And during this dinner time, the people continued to talk about Jesus and to share the message that had been brought to them that morning. And then I made my way home, and in the evening, Helmut came back and picked me up again. And when I came back to church Sunday night, there was about the same number of people that there were on Sunday morning. Then on Wednesday night, Helmut came back and picked me up for the third time in that week. And once again, there were about the same number of people in the church service as there were on Sunday night or Sunday morning. This was my first experience with church in Germany following my conversion. Now, can you imagine what I went through when I had my first church experience in the United States? It was like this. I went to a fairly large church. There were about 700 people. And the first thing that happened is they gave me a bulletin. Now, I never had heard of a bulletin before. I didn't know what a bulletin was, but it's a sheet of paper folded in two with a program printed on this and other information on it. And then the church service would follow the program as printed, and it's designed that everything would last just about exactly 1 hour. I noticed when it wouldn't be 1 hour, but it would go over a little bit, people would start getting nervous because apparently they had more important things to do that particular morning than listen to the Word of God and worship the Lord. Everybody said they were so glad to see me, and so I felt kind of at home with that. But after 1 hour was over, everybody stood up and walked out and left me stand alone. And I was really quite shocked because I thought they were glad to see me. Then in the evening, I came back to church, and half the people were gone. And I didn't know what happened because I thought maybe they'd gone out on a visitation program, or then I thought, well, maybe they're all sick or something. What happened here? And then I came back to church on Wednesday night, and then only half of the people that were there Sunday night were there on Wednesday night, so that actually on Wednesday evening, they had this little group of church people meeting in a basement. And they had a few little prayers for those in the hospital, and then they had a Bible study. Oh, my friend, what a change. And after the evening service was done, I was invited to a home. These were two Christian ladies, quite a bit older than I was. They invited me to a home, and I was looking forward. I was looking forward to a time like I had in Hamburg, Germany, that we would talk about Jesus, and we would review the sermon, and we'd have wonderful fellowship. And as soon as I got in the home, these dear people sat down, and they turned on the television set. And on the TV program was what's called the Lawrence Welk Show. I've never heard of this show before or seen it before, but there was an orchestra there, played some music, and it was not church music. And then there were all kinds of ladies that were lined up, and they were all throwing their bare legs up into the sky and kind of dancing and moving around. And I'll tell you, my friend, I was in a state of severe shock. In my whole lifetime, I was 19 years of age now, I'd never seen a woman with bare legs. I'd never seen a woman's leg above the knee. And this was my first time with this experience. And I said, oh, dear Jesus. I said, I thought we just came from church. We just sang holy, holy, holy. And I had an awful time putting this together. And I still have today. Oh, how our churches and our nation need revival. Need to return to the old path, to the old ways. How can Jesus be in our hearts when we watch things like that? Isn't there something better we can do? Oh, by the grace of God, God have mercy on us. Now, going back to Germany, we had this wonderful experience in this church. And then the people there really prayed. I mean, on the Wednesday night service, they really prayed. They really called upon the name of the Lord. And I kind of got the sense that prayer was one of the most wonderful things a congregation can do. After a little while, the government of the city of Hamburg approached this fellowship of believers if they could help in a camp for orphan children, delinquent orphan children. Their parents had been killed in the bombings. And these teenagers were all put together in barracks in a certain area of the city. And the social workers of the city could not do anything to help them, to get them out of their delinquency. And so they turned to our church and say, we'll give you 1,000 German marks and see what you can do with them. Well, the way this thing started then is the whole youth group got together And they made preparation. They were trained to go into this camp. And the leaders were very wise. The leaders were two seminary students. Both were Baptists. And week after week, they met with the young people in preparing them for this work in this camp and teaching them scriptures and having prayer with them and all this. And after so many weeks, more and more of the young people dropped out because they wanted to get into this camp. They wanted to see some action, get in there and do something. So eventually, the only one that was left, the only student that was left was me. And I was, at that time, I was an 18-year-old machinist apprentice. And after another meeting or so, they said, we're ready to go into this camp and work with these young people. So there were two seminary students and a machinist apprentice. And we went in and we gathered all the young people together into one of the barracks, and they began to work with them, talk with them, speak to them, play some games with them. And he said, now you, Reimar, we want you to go in a corner behind that curtain over there and you pray. And behind that curtain there was a bed with an iron frame on it. And there I knelt down, and I would pray for 1 to 2 hours, kneeling on the concrete floor, praying for 1 to 2 hours that God would help my brothers work with the young people. Those are my first personal great experiences of prayer. What I want to tell you, after I came to this country, after a few weeks, a few months after I was here, I received a postcard from one of the seminary students. And the postcard said, Reimar, we have some good news for you. We thank you for all your prayers. Revival has broken out in this camp, and many young people have been saved. Oh, praise his holy name. So isn't Jesus wonderful? So I shared with you today my first experiences with the church. The church in Germany that I was privileged to be part of for 2 years, my first experiences with a church in the United States. Another thing that I experienced as I came over here, I never heard of revival meetings. And they announced that there would be revival meetings in some place in the city. It was advertised in the newspaper. And revival sounded good to me. And I went to this place at the appointed time. But I was a little suspicious because the advertising said revival meetings from August 5 through August 10. And I said to myself, how can you turn on a revival on a certain day, and then if it's going, why do you want to turn it off on the 10th of August? And as I got there, I found out what revival is all about in most of our churches. It's getting to have a preacher that comes 500 miles. You pay him $500 to stay 5 days, and you may have five people at the altar who have some experience, but most of them are back where they were 5 weeks later. Oh, dear Jesus, help us. Help us with this concept of revival, with these ideas we have of revival. I'll tell you, my friend, revival is when God comes to the scene and you can't program God to come on a scene at a humanly appointed date or time. He comes when the conditions of human hearts are ready, and he will continue to work as long as he possibly can. Oh, my friend, God have mercy on our ways and our churches, I pray in Jesus' name. So, dear ones, next week I'll continue with my first impressions in this great, wonderful country, the United States, as a young Christian just having come out of Germany. You need to know this because what I felt many, many foreigners that come to this country experience this very day, just the same way. And you need to know how others look at this nation, others who have been on fire for God, live for God, live for Jesus in other countries, what they experience, the great trauma they go through when they come on these shores with our church the way it is. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. We'll continue next week. Goodbye now until then.